1 Corinthians 7, we left off at verse 16, and Paul is laying down instructions for relationships, for those who have gotten saved, and whatever state they found themselves in, he is encouraging them and instructing them how to conduct themselves in that state, and what they should do if they may have questions about which way they should go. That's good for the Corinthians to write a letter to Paul, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. You think now, believers, they just go for it. They don't seek for a counsel. They say, very rarely, I won't say they don't, they'll find a person and they'll say, hey, I like this person and this person likes me. We want to get married. No counsel, no seeking instruction. And even not to get too far off here, but even believers who I found believers who are married believers, when they have trouble, they most, I don't say all, most of them, especially the younger ones, they don't seek counsel. They usually revert to the flesh. And that's why you have the rate of divorce is so high, because they, number one, their pride will stop them from going to get help. And you can't really blame them, because the scripture says this, that you who are spiritual are to restore those who've fallen or overtaken in a fault. There's very few spiritual believers. When I say spiritual, I don't mean that they don't go to church every week. I don't mean that they don't go to Bible study. I don't mean they don't quote scripture. I mean that very few have God's word in them where they can share with you a word that will strengthen you, and they have your interests at hand. Where they say, Annette, I'm having some trouble with my marriage, and next week, we're going to pray for you. We heard that you're having problems. Yeah. Well, I went to her in confidence. Yeah. Or you go to the pastor, or, you know, Pastor Ed, and this, next thing you know, he preached about it. Like, what? He said, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So you want to be able to go to a believer in confidence, in privacy, with assurance that they have your interests at hand and they're able to help you. But if you don't find that, then you try to do it on your own. I know a lot of saints who try to do it on their own. I try to do it on my own.
Most don't say. I did not actually, in the beginning years, I called my mom and dad a lot. My wife called me a mama's boy. That counsel was great counsel. Who better to ask than married 40 years?
Absolutely.
That's right. Listen, I don't care how, if you got a couple that's, if they've been married longer than you've been living, they can tell you some things. Even if it's a bad marriage. Like, you might look at them and say, well, that's not my ideal couple, but I guarantee you they have some wisdom to give you.
They learned some lessons.
If it's nothing more that don't do this,
right,
what I did.
Yeah. My old pastor said he used to do marriage counseling, and he said he learned a lot from people that had good marriages and bad marriages. He said the ones that had good, he said, oh, okay. He said the ones that had bad, he said, Lord, I thank you, because I ain't going to be doing that. Because we see the pattern,
right?
That's right. You don't have to make mistakes in order to grow. You can learn from other people's mistakes. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that just because and say, I got that under my belt now. Look at this verse. Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul's writing to Timothy as a pastor, as a young pastor. Verse 4:13. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt what?
Save.
Both save thyself and them that hear thee. He says, you get this doctrine, you get it in and down, and you trust what I've given you. He said, in your profit, they'll see it. And if you give advice, it'll save you, well, because you're doing it, and it'll save them that hear you. You ever got bad advice? They call, you know, they say, well, what do you think I should do? Well, if I were you, I'd put them out. You don't have to take that. Or vice versa. Or it's, well, you know what? Such a big risk to get married now. Maybe you should live together for a while. See how you like it.
I'm going to say that I wanted to live with my wife before we got married. She was up north, I was down here. And about 3 days before she was to come down here for us to get married, I happened to be living in West Memphis that many years ago. And I got to thinking after I talked to her, I am a fool. Because if she gets pregnant, I'm going to blame her. And I got to thinking, I got to be committed to do this because it's, and you know, I had no upbringing in the church. But I called her and said, you know what? When you have your parents bring you down here, be ready to get married because we're just going to get married. And by God, we did. It'll be 47 years, the 30th of this month. And if I hadn't have been married, I'd have walked away. I walked away from a lot of women, and I just, there was no commitment, you know. It was all that sex and all that fun. But, and she was a sweet girl, and I knew that I wasn't going to find anything any better for me. But I give that a lot of thought before I tried living with her. But I did that in my own mind. I knew how I was, what kind of guy I was. And that's what made it last so long. Now, there's been a few times that...
Now, we ain't on marriage counseling, Mark.
Well, you know what?
That's, I don't mean to be counseling, but the thing is that marriage is a commitment for two people through better or worse. And if you can't figure that out from the beginning, you ain't going to have much of a marriage. That's my feeling about marriage.
Now, see, that's a great observation. Man, think about this. That was from, Frank was thinking that as an unsaved man.
Right.
You remember?
I knew God from the time I was...
Probably well, we're put it this way. We would say, as for the limited knowledge that you had, or no knowledge.
No knowledge, yeah, really.
But just think of this. Think if he had a talk to a believer who was educated, who knew what marriage was, who knew what was involved, when even more so than that. Do you think it would have helped him to get some instruction, some further instruction, as well as being introduced to salvation?
Sure.
I don't know if it would. Trust me.
I was just...
It would be good information whether you believed it or not.
I was so hard-headed. And my wife tells me I'm that way right now. So
you see, that's where the Corinthians, where when they wrote to Paul, that's a great step. Because they realized that Paul had the commandments of the Lord. They said, we accept those who accepted his authority. He says, well, what about this? He says in verse 7, verse...
Where are we at?
7, right. 1 Corinthians 7. And he when he gives that instruction and he says about the unbelievers with the believers, about if the unbeliever was pleased to dwell with them, that they shouldn't leave. And if the unbelieving wife was pleased to dwell with the believing husband, that he should not put her away. And he says in verse 16, for what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Lifestyle goes a long way in conviction. You know, Paul said into the Corinthians, he said that we are living letters.
Mm-hmm.
Known and written for all men to see. You don't have to quote a verse verbally. You know what'll change their mind is they say, you know what? They'll just watch you and wait for the change in you. So I know you've heard this before, where I remember who said this. One of the guys in the class, and Thursday, not this class. He said he went to his house, and his wife was there. His wife was sick. And they went in there and they said, hey, this is so-and-so who I've been telling you about, you know, and from the Bible class. And she's like, oh, like she was shocked. And he said, yeah. She said, how did you meet him? She said, well, we met this way and we go to the Bible class together. And she said, oh, I'm surprised. And he was like, what do you mean? And the wife, she was like, well, I'm just shocked because you don't know him like I know him. the guy in the Bible class. Yeah. He said, yeah, it's a good brother. And she was like, oh, really? She was like, I'm shocked. She laughed. She laughed at his testimony. Because she knew him.
Behavior didn't match his belief.
That's, you know what? I don't care what you say out in the street. You want to, you know, you want to test the guy's character. Ask what is his wife and children, family, co-workers think about him. Then you got the man. Not an hour on Tuesday. Not an hour on Sunday. You do a little investigation, inquiry. You know what Paul said, the qualification of a bishop, he must be blameless. I didn't say sinless, faultless. I can't, you know what, when you walk around, remember that cartoon, Charlie Brown, and it was a guy called Pigpen. Mm-hmm. Was it Pigpen?
Yeah.
Everywhere he went, he had those flies and dust, big dust ball around him. That's what I blameless is. You know what? He's got a. They can point at you and say, "You know what? There he goes. There she goes." And it never goes away. That stigma, whatever it is. I was watching the channels the other day, and Jimmy Swagger came on. First thing I thought about, you know, the first thing I thought about, don't you?
Prostitute.
There you go. There he is. It's the first thing I thought about. Flip to another channel, and now you might see. Well, I was thinking of this guy. He's like squinches all the time, and he's got gray hair.
He's the guy, yeah. He's the guy.
But he
had the wife that had all the hair.
Oh, Paul Crouch.
No.
Baker.
Baker.
There it is. So you know what is just opposite. Paul says, "Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them." Doing so, you shall save what? Yourself and them that hear thee. Somebody didn't take heed to the doctrine.
Baker and Swagger.
This, you know what? The list is long. It could be me tomorrow. The minute you stop meditating and letting that doctrine work in you and yielding to that doctrine, you're next. You fall into those pitfalls.
They were powerful leaders.
Whatever pitfall it is, it could be whatever. But that's the test, is when he says, what do you know, old man, old wife, whether you have that kind of spiritual power? But it won't come just by your activity. They have to see Christ in you. So before, you know what, before Paul, before those Corinthians, before you discard them, he said, just walk right. Just be the believer that God called you to be. Be the light that God called you to be. And what do you know? What do you know?
I know if those guys would have stuck to what they taught, that they should have stood up and asked for forgiveness. But there was so much media on both of them. But they didn't just come out and tell the truth, the whole truth.
Jimmy Swaggart stood up and apologized and got caught with a prostitute a year later.
Yeah, again.
Did he do it again?
He's real good at crying while he apologizes.
Oh, he's a crier. But I just felt like that they. I just felt like Baker and him. Now, what Baker did inside his church there was. But, you know, the opposite sex, that's usually what takes a man down. Or a woman.
But you know what? With all that considered, who wants to be followed in here? That's right. Who wants to be followed or taped or your activities?
Nope.
So what I'm saying is nobody's above scrutiny.
Yeah, exactly.
You got something that, you know, whether it's in discretion or privacy, that you hope it never comes out. Whatever day or whatever frequency it's done, there is a level of fleshly provision in all of us.
Yeah, but common sense comes
so
into play.
So, what I thought about is this. Even something as simple as this is the entertainment that we choose. If God came in your house and talked to your wife like the TV talks to us, what would you say?
Say, get out of here.
In a little, maybe more strenuous than that, or more forceful than that.
You're done.
So, but we do it. We let them talk to us, our children, day after day. Or if somebody came to your house and started behaving the way some of the shows that we watch behave. You know, that 5 minutes and they're naked on TV. I mean, as soon as you cut the TV on.
Yeah. And the commercials are the shows.
But you know what? That's how, you remember the frog in the pan? Mm-hmm. That's how the heat's turned up, where we're conditioned now. Oh, it's just a naked lady. What?
Mm-hmm.
But we've left the doctrine. Mm-hmm. We've left the doctrine. You know what Paul says about women? He said they should be modest, not in costly array, braided hair, looking like the harlot. He said they should be adorn themselves in good works. You turn on now, and you know what? Everybody loves the Lord. Everybody knows God now. But you turn it on, and you see anything but modesty.
Right.
Oh, anyway, let's move. move ahead here. He says, what do you know, whether you will save thy wife or thy husband? Verse 17, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. So Paul is writing, he says, however you are or were when you were saved, he said, just stay that way.
Is he referring here to if you were saved under the kingdom gospel and you're part of that future there? Is he taking it to that? You're saved as a member of the believing, you know, what the apostles were teaching and going into the kingdom? Versus you saved under, is that what he's referring to?
No. That's, I think he had his hand. Ed, sure. You want to make a comment?
He wants you to stay that way. These were religious circumstances, not sinful circumstances, that he wants you to stay in.
Right.
He's talking to Jews that happen to be circumcised. He's saying, well, now that you know grace, you don't have to get uncircumcised, and et cetera, right?
Right. Yeah, we would hope he would. Well, you know that's against everything Paul teaches.
Right.
If you were saved a harlot, we'll stay a harlot.
Right. Yes.
What? But that's what they think we say today.
No, yeah, the grace is... you just do anything you want.
Yeah, he doesn't care. But wherever, right, he's for it doesn't, you don't have to alter your situation to be accepted. Whether it's like if you're uncircumcised, well, he said, you know what, it doesn't mean anything. Or if you're circumcised, it doesn't mean anything. If you're an unsaved Jew and you got saved, you don't have to be uncircumcised because it doesn't mean anything. Or if you're a circumcised man who got saved, you don't have to be circumcised because it doesn't mean anything now. He said, that's nothing. He said, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. He couldn't have said that a short while ago. He says, but this is something. The keeping of the commandments of God.
What commandments?
You know what? I'm glad you said that. What commandments?
Paul said what the Lord gave him are the commandments.
Paul said what the Lord gave him, they are what? The commandments of the Lord. Even the things that he says, I speak this by
permission
and not by commandment. He says, I'm giving you advice as one that, well, we'll get there, that have obtained mercy of the Lord to be found faithful. You know what scares us? And I'm finding this out. It really scares us. Commandments.
Yeah.
Ordinances.
Yeah.
Traditions. When we use those words, it's, you know why? Because we're ultra sensitive as grace believers. We don't want anything to get in on that freedom.
Because
you come out of that, right?
Or blur the lines.
I'm sorry.
Or even obey. Obedience. You know what? That when you hear that, right, you know, like James now, when you hear that, you're like, what you talking about? What you talking about, Willis? You're right. It does. It raises your attention because just you don't want to go back to Galatia. You want to make sure that a man is not bringing you back into bondage. But the problem is every book, Paul is saying something about commandments, traditions, obedience. In another word, labor, service. It scares us. And we forget this. Look, he didn't save you. I think we were talking a while ago, and I said, you know what? God doesn't save us to be, we're just passive recipients of grace. He wants some willing participants in grace too. That's the difference. Now, he's not driving us. But when he loads all these benefits on you, and in essence, now what? He gives it all up to you up front. And he says, now what? For you. That's for you. Now what? In so many words, Paul, when he loads it up on the Romans, he says, now. Now. After all this, now I beseech you, brethren. I beseech you, brethren,
by the mercies of
God, that you present. See all of those voluntary words popping up? I beseech you by the mercies of God to present my body that I bought, but it's yours.
A living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice.
Holy and acceptable
unto
God,
which is
your reasonable service.
And be not conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove.
What is that?
What is that?
Good
and acceptable and perfect
will of God.
Wait a minute, Lord. You saved me by grace. That's where I want to, I love that. He said, yeah.
But I saved you first.
After that, now, he said, after that, now what? I talked to a guy. This guy is, we've been talking back and forth, and I went there Sunday. He says, you've been thinking about what I said? Yeah, I've been thinking about it. We got through it. He says, come back here. We go back into his office. He says, well, what do you say? I'll say, well, we have a little time to, you know, consider this. And he says, well, I said, let me ask you something, Pastor. I said, how familiar are you with dispensational truth?
Hey, you stopped him.
He says, I said, well, look at this verse. And I said, Romans 16:25. I said, read that. I said, are you familiar with the preaching of Jesus Christ? And he says, no. Sorry, man. I said, well, what about, are you familiar with the principle of right division? Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, okay. I said, what's your concept of that?
And
it was no testament. He was saying, well, as we believe in going out to the world with the gospel, and sorry, I'll get back to you next week. I said, I got something I'd like to share with you if I bring it back to you next week. He said, okay. But the process, the renewing process, long way off. And he's, you know, if you're asking me to be a part of what, I'd be there 2 weeks before you put me out. Because what I have to say,
you don't want to hear,
is different from what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Wolf chased all over again.
And I, but that's where Paul is, and what he says. He said, the keeping of the commandments of the Lord. And it's a strong word. He doesn't, a man who had just liberated you from the law will not put you back under the law. He says, if I build the things again that I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. He's not going to the apostle of grace. He's not going to risk life and limb to get to you to preach grace and then turn around and say, keep the commandments. Like he's putting a yoke on you.
So did Paul say that? Is there a verse?
What?
Verse 19?
I'm not looking there.
Which one? Did Paul say what?
I think he just says about the verse where it says, I make myself a transgressor.
No.
Oh, sorry.
What you quoted, everything I say is a commandment.
Oh, where Paul says that the words that I say are the commandments of the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's
First Corinthians 14:37.
Thank you all.
Are you going there, or you want to write that down?
Yeah, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
You know what? I got to mark in my Bible. I got to start reading.
Yeah.
And you know what? And that's a good verse. You think about it. If any man, think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, and you ask any pastor, he's like, Pastor, would you consider yourself a spiritual man?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. He'd say, oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Flip to that verse and said, what do you think about Paul and his writings? Well,
there.
Let him answer first, then say, well, read that verse for me.
Yeah.
I wish I had thought of that Sunday.
You wouldn't have got back to him.
No, you know what? But this guy is, you know what? He's a real nice guy. Really, really nice. But do you know how lucky you are?
Oh, yes. Thank the Lord every day.
It's unbelievable.
I thought about that this morning. I was telling them, they shared with me the Berean study, a little pamphlet I was going to give to my mom. And I said, let me read this just to see what it comes to talking about. Tongues, signs, and wonders. And when I read it, I said, oh, no, that's too heavy for all. I got to continue to.
You were repelled her instantly.
Yeah,
that's right.
No, too strong.
I said, I can't. It was just, it's like, what, 5 pages? I said, it's too heavy.
You know what I found out? And what I thought, I said, you know what? I was thinking, I went home, I said, what can I give this? It's nothing takes the place of you sitting down with the man, but we don't have that kind of time. So what can I give him? He doesn't need a book. He doesn't need a book.
Right.
He needs a brochure.
Right.
Yeah.
And I said, and he doesn't. It's God's will that all men be saved.
Amen.
And
coming to a knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if this man is saved.
Yeah.
You know what he said? He says, well, he said, when I was a little boy, I was had trouble sleeping at night. He said, I just tossed and turned, and I went to my pastor, and he said, well, he said, that's the Lord calling you to preach.
Samuel.
And he said, I ran from the Lord, and I finally surrendered. And he says, now, he says, I sleep like a rock.
If that was the testimony,
maybe
by sleeping.
Maybe it's food, right? Maybe he had a bad pizza. But you know what?
That's a really true story.
You hear stories like that all the time. So I thought, well, I'll just something real simple. And yet, it will introduce him to some of the Pauline truth. If you get a man to see what he has in Christ, then he could go a little further. If he gets saved, then he has the apparatus that the Lord can work with him. As it stands, I don't know where this man is.
Without asking questions.
Well, you know what? From his testimony, if I just went with that, which is all I have.
But sometimes you got to get deeper.
You
got to
ask what grounds.
Right.
What grounds do you think you're going to have?
And you know what? So, but he says, verse 19, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Like we said, and that's not the law, verse back in 7:19. And that's not it's not the Mosaic law. And it's not Paul putting us under guidelines, duties. It's instruction. It's the spiritual instruction. And Paul's not, he's not afraid to use that word, commandments. You can have commandments under grace. You can have traditions. He said, you keep the traditions. And the words are all synonymous. It's basically, it's these are some instructions that I'm giving you. And he said, and I want you to walk in them.
They are the way.
They are. They are. Even, you know what? Even grace believers have works. He says, look, God, we are his workmanship, created unto no works.
Which the Lord has foreordained.
Good works. He said in Titus, he said that we should what?
That we should walk in them.
We better.
We should.
We should walk in them. He said in Titus, he said, let ours also. Titus, look at Titus. Look at Titus chapter 3.
From a doctrinal understanding, and that is that if we are mature, that we have the mind of Christ, that wisdom of God becomes, we embrace it as our own.
You know what? I'm glad you said that. If you're mature, that's what Paul said about the Philippians. He says, as many as be thus minded. If you think like I think. Paul was a mature believer. That's why he can use a term like this. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. Can't say that to a baby. He says, not as though I have already apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are past. He says, I'm, you know what he's saying? I'm working for something. What? Wait a minute, Paul. You said we're saved by grace. He said, that's exactly what I mean.
He's working out of his grace, not for his grace.
And here's the thing. This is so... Titus.
Work out your
I don't want to get too... I'm getting way off of Corinthians. Titus 3. Titus chapter 3.
Which,
matter of fact, jump back to chapter 2. Let's read a couple of verses here. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. He says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying what?
Ungodliness
and worldly lust, we better... We should live what?
Soberly,
righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, wait a minute. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Amen, brother. We love that, right? Mm-hmm. Teaching us, believers, that what?
We should.
That.
Oh, deny.
Denying.
Ungodly.
Now, what's in denying? What's involved in that? If I deny ungodliness, does that mean that I could choose ungodliness?
Yeah.
We know that, don't we?
Yeah.
Because we make those choices, don't we?
Yeah, we leave the TV on.
Right. We leave the TV on, right. Or with radio, or even we say things or do things. Deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Who's not presented with that? That we should what?
Live.
We should live soberly,
righteously,
godly.
In this present age.
Now, wait a minute. If he's saying we should live this way, doesn't he know that we can't do that? Why is he saying that you should live, Annette, you should live this way?
I really want to.
If you don't have the ability to live that way, why is he saying that you should deny this and live this way?
Because
does he know something?
Yeah.
Does he know something that We don't know?
Yes.
Well, he's saying, you know this. He knows. Look, denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Chapter 3. He says, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain what?
Good works.
These things are good and profitable unto men. Now, we went to those verses and I forgot why we went over there. But you can see those things that scares us, those things that scare believers is, look at it this way. Just say you're a wood man. W-O-O-D. Made of wood. Inside, and that doctrine is wood. And it just stacks up in us. You know, we'll put you here. You're a wood man here. And all the doctrine we have is wood. And that doctrine just, we build that doctrine up in us. The commandments. The traditions. Right? All that. So, as it stands, it's what?
Wood.
It's just wood.
Yeah.
So what do you... Oh, right. You would like to use it, right? If you want to start a fire. Okay. And you got this wood stacked up in you. How much in you determines how much burns, mm-hmm. or how great the fire, right?
The more the
fire. Yeah. The more wood, the more burn. How do you light that wood? Do you light it?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, right. He's in there. You know what? Say this. The Holy Spirit is... We'll say he's the kindling.
That starts that fire.
That starts that. Where the Lord is, the Lord will use that. And when the Lord...
Don't put any fuel in there. There's nothing to burn.
If you don't put any fuel in there, right. There's nothing for... And
so are we talking about Bema Seed issues here?
I'm just giving an example about us laboring and working and glorifying God is... When the Lord lights that fire, when the Lord, his word is built up in you, right? And the Holy Spirit uses that, the kindling, we'll say. So whatever situation we're in, if the Lord lights this fire, depending on, and we'll get to this in a minute, depending on how much this doctrine works in you, it depends on how much doctrine what? Is in you. If you don't have any information, guess what burns out?
Fire.
Yes. The gas. The gas. Right, the fire will burn out. And you have to look at that as...
You have to keep feeding it.
That's if he says renew your mind. If you renew your mind, there's a lot that you have to choose from. For example, if you get into a situation, whatever it is, you don't know the answer to that. The reason you don't know the answer to that is because you've never been acquainted with the doctrine that'll give you the answer to that. Where it says, "Oh Ed, or I'm in this situation, what should I do?" Well, if a man is familiar with the doctrine, guess what? He'd give you an answer. Or, I'm in this situation, what do I do? If a man's familiar with the doctrine, guess what he can tell you? He can tell you what to do. But if you don't, sometimes we sit around the class on Thursday and I let them run a while. You know, they'll be talking, well, I think this. Well, I know, but I think everybody will stop and they'll look. And they'll know after a while because they're like, we don't have a verse, do we? I was like, no, you don't. Then you go back, and you know what it reminds me of? And we'll get back here. Where Elijah was at the prophets of Baal, and he said, put the wood up there, stack it up. And he said, now pour some water on it. Now pour some more water on it. Now pour some more water on it. He said, now you light yours, and then I'm going to light mine. And he said, the God who answers by fire, that's the God. So they stacked theirs up. He stacked his up. And he said, you call on yours first. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, come. Nothing happened. And he said, now, he said, Lord, that they might know that you're the one. He hit it, boom.
The fire consumed the water.
You know what? It was like, now that's a fire. They lit it up. He lapped everything up. Well, that's the same with a man that has doctrine. You know what Paul said? He says, I labored. How much?
More than all.
More abundantly than all who? All the other believers. Well, why are you comparing yourself to them? Why was Paul, that shows that he was a carnal man, he compared himself to other believers. I'm not saying compare yourself to other believers, but he's proving the point. He says, but not me. Wait a minute, make up your mind. Was it you or was it not you?
Yes.
Was it you? Yes. Was it not you? Yes. Wait a minute, Paul. Was it you, Paul, laboring? Yes, it was. Was it God in you? Yes, it was. How can we do that? He says, look at 1 Corinthians. It's right there. He says, verse 10, 15:10. Matter of fact, 15:10. He's verse 15:9. For I am the least of all the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. You remember what I said? Passive recipient, willing participant. He said the grace that he bestowed upon me, active, passive recipient, right? He says, I got it. And that grace was not in vain, but what did I do? He says, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You know what I find out? What believers don't believe is the power of this word. That's how he works in us. It's through his word. That's if you got nothing, you got nothing. That's what you could talk to a guy. It doesn't matter how big his church is. If he doesn't have any doctrine in him, that thing is self-motivated and is fueled by gimmicks, shenanigans,
monkey shine,
monkey shine, What else? What'd you say?
Emotions.
Emotions.
Yeah. Theater.
Yeah.
All that.
Emotions. Yeah.
And the thing is, the believer, and I, look, I've been in them. I'm telling you. And you see it. There's some there who want to know. And you could see them. But you know what? They sit there and you could see it. And then there's some there who
just want to be entertained.
They love it.
Well, it's that appeal to the lowest part of our nature, the flesh, and the flesh lights it up.
Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know what, and when I'm there, I think about you guys. I think when I'm there, I'm thinking of, you know what, and I'm thinking, I say, I hope they know what they get on Sunday. I hope they know. And I hope they appreciate it, because you know what? It's easy when you go out there and you get your flesh stroked. If you're not after this, you'll stay there.
Exactly.
And once you learn this, that other is it's appalling. It's
listen.
I mean, you can't. You almost can't stomach the sin.
Right. Yeah.
You know what Paul said? Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he finishes in Timothy, 2 Timothy, he says, one of these guys that work with me, Demas.
Forsaken.
He said, what did he say? Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Wait a minute. A man who sat under Paul, learned this great message, saw those benefits of grace, labored with him, knew what he had in Christ, and he says, well, he went on back to the good time.
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah, he's gone. He's gone back.
He didn't absorb it, evidently.
Back to the way he used to be.
Well, I think a lot of it is that we are so small, and it becomes a for those that are not really grounded, it becomes like a tug of war of your emotions and your affections. Because, for example, my mother continuing in that same church every week, we talk about the wrong doctrine, but it's just, there's something there she can't
break. She made a life there, and she loves the people, and she doesn't want to leave them.
You know what it is?
It's family.
It's the flesh.
It's the flesh. Call it. It is what it is.
Absolutely.
We love what we love. Mm-hmm. And if you don't recognize it for what it is, you will always cater to it.
You know, even before I knew about grace, I remember crying at home because I knew that I wasn't going back to that church. And for me, it meant I was leaving my family.
Yeah.
You know, my family.
Right.
Yeah, and but
that's
I knew. I'm like, this ain't it. I don't know what it is, but this. Is it.
Well, I tell you what, you know, when I knew that all this is gravity, when I wasn't worried about being in a big group where I might meet a future husband, that being fed the word was far more meaningful to me than
right
under that man.
I'm going to tell you what was strange is because the next church I went to, that wasn't it, but it was like a repair for me. I don't know if it was mentally, because it was just, you know, baby, you know, it was real basic. And I remember hearing your thing on the radio, and I read the What You Believe. I was like, oh, man. I never heard right division.
Right.
I was like, there's something. There's something different. And I got to reading some of the questions. One but a few. I was like, oh, man, I'm interested now. And I came out to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that was...
I wonder if that was three questions.
That's right.
About no money.
No,
well, we're going to stop before we continue this. We're going to stop this.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. We're going to stop just so we'll know next week where to pick up. We're going to stop it, or we'll start back up verse 20 next week.
And then we went through this